We're going to spend some time now doing some, let's call it the 2024 election Monday morning quarterbacking. We have one party celebrating, certainly. The other is reevaluating what their next steps are going to be. Meanwhile, almost daily actions and decisions by the incoming president-elect is bringing about the question, okay, what's next? Joining us to explore all of this is Democratic strategist, founder, as well as chief strategist with Third Degree Strategies, Max Burns. Thanks for being here today, Max.
Thanks so much.
ThirdDegreeStrategies.com, the website. Learn more about the services, the expertise that Max and his company make available. We'll start near the top, I guess we'd say, and work our way into lower levels. But is it realistic to expect a successful run for president when you only have just about 100 days to do it?
I think that's a real challenge. And what you're starting to see within Democratic circles is a lot of the frustration pointing Biden's direction for not leaving the race earlier. It was certainly always going to be a very uphill fight. And if you look at the actual polling, Harris in 100 days performed much better than Biden would have. So at the very least, the silver lining is Harris avoided an even larger potential loss.
Although I've heard people calling this a landslide. If you look at getting 50% of the votes, which Trump did, and the leadership positions in the House and Senate in low single digit, it's a win, obviously, but I hesitate calling it a landslide.
Yeah, it's still a very close race, especially in those blue wall states, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in some cases 30,000 votes, so around similar margins to what we saw in 2016 and 2020. And with about one, maybe two seats in majority in the House of Representatives, given the dysfunction we've seen from Republicans over the last few years, that's going to be an ungovernably small majority. And it'll be tough to imagine anything really getting done in the House, even with Republicans in control.
And also in the Senate, you have senators like Collins, Murkowski, who could very easily go over and play in the Democrats' yard to get an issue blocked or brought through.
Yeah, the Senate's going to be a really interesting place in the coming months as we see them really starting to face the full brunt of Donald Trump's bizarre nominees for cabinet positions, senior administration roles. They're going to be pressured to go along with these increasingly unqualified, strange choices. And it'll be interesting to see how much independence Republicans exert in the Senate on that.
Did the Democrats think they had an easier opponent than they wound up having?
I think that's a consistent problem with the way that Democrats have thought about the MAGA movement. You often hear, you know, Donald Trump's base is only 38%, and that's a way of sort of dismissing his legitimacy and the appeal of his message. But clearly, that message crosses over traditional partisan lines, and that's part of what makes the MAGA movement so challenging to fight against. But yeah, I just simply don't go along with this idea that they're dismissing that movement is the way to fight it. And we're clearly seeing it's not.
In the aftermath, too, albeit a short period of time, there have been some among the Democratic Party who have said we have to go heavier in, well, basically it didn't work for them. We didn't do it enough, they're saying.
Yeah, the one thing we know for sure in the data is that Republican voters didn't move from their support for Republicans. All of the campaigning with Liz Cheney in the districts that happened actually hurt Democratic turnout, actually led to more Democrats flipping. So what we can see is that this idea of blame the left, push more to the right, look more like Republicans do, that happens every time Democrats lose, that's not going to work, and we have the numbers to show it doesn't work. We have to move past this sort of fear response and actually think about what really went wrong.
So Max Burns, founder, chief strategist with Third Degree Strategies, ThirdDegreeStrategies.com, the websites. You are listening to Issues and Ideas. What was it, because not just with the presidential race, you can look through many of the state and even local level Democratic races, there was a peak, let's just say maybe mid-October, late October, and then to varying degrees, there was a downturn that the upward motion, the trend either stalled, stagnated, or dropped just enough for some Democratic campaigns to be flipped and be given to the Republicans. What was not being said? I mean, was it just simply that phrase that James Carville engraved into politics, the economy, or was there something else missing from the Democratic picture?
It isn't just the economy. It's also how Democrats talked about it. It's one of the strange things about the way this campaign worked that the Biden campaign and the Harris campaign, running on a very strong economy, record low unemployment, people getting rising wages and bonuses, but you rarely heard a coherent message about everything the Biden administration had achieved in the economy. You never heard them talking about how good it was. And what we see from exit polling is that Republican messaging that the economy was bad, that inflation was worse than it was, really worked with voters. That brought a lot of voters to the polls that Democrats didn't expect. And it's just really disappointing because the actual underlying economy was a winning economy. But if you don't sell that story to voters, it may as well not exist.
Yeah, it sounds like a difference between, okay, I'm looking at my 401k and, wow, double-digit growth year to date. That's wonderful, but it's costing me $8 now to get a dozen eggs. The immediate economy was what won versus the long-term economy.
And the challenge there is Democrats struggled for months to engage it. At first said that it was not real. And I think that hurt their credibility with a lot of voters. And then for most of the summer, stopped talking about inflation or the economy entirely. And I think it was a mistake. I mean, this is a question that voters had consistently. Voters told us in polling for a year and a half that they were concerned about the economy, that they didn't feel they understood Joe Biden's plan. And Democrats thought they knew better than those polls. That turned out to be a very costly mistake.
So now for the Democratic Party moving forward, again, they're not in a grave. They just ran into the ditch, I guess, if you want to put a depth analogy to their situation. How challenging is it to resist an effort that they're going to be up against in both the House, the Senate, and the White House when you're trying to either reset or maybe in some cases even rebuild to a degree?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because this is not a fatal blow to the Democratic Party. With a majority of one in the House, it's actually incredibly likely that House leadership flips to Democrats at some point before 2026. I mean, these are not numbers that rule out the party, but they do have a lot of rebuilding to do. And the challenge is you're going to have the same party voices who have been in the party for decades, who have managed multiple campaigns that have ended in failure, trying to preserve their own role in the party. When what we really need to do is going into 26 and 2028 is bring in that new generation of leadership that we were promised 8 years ago. It is clearly time, and we will pay a continued political cost if we avoid doing that.
I mean, we've seen that already at the local and state levels with here in New Jersey, a Josh Gottheimer, in Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who's already got the number 2028 on his back, plastered on it by some. So it could be done. It's happened. And if you want to look back in history, look back to the collapse of the GOP after the 64 election. And what happened 2 years later? Along came Reagan in California, Nixon in 68, and all was right with the GOP world again.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats will need to spend some time in the wilderness here figuring out, first and foremost, who we're talking to. Because the numbers we see, the election results we got, are an indication that whoever Democrats think we're talking to, we are not reaching those people. So we need to reassess the strategies of tacking to the right, of chasing Silicon Valley tech bro money and ignoring labor in our messaging and in our organizing. We're going to really have to think about what makes us Democrats and how we talk about it, because the current messaging no longer has credibility with voters.
And people are thinking about this in a four-year plan of action, but legitimately it's 2 years with the midterms coming up. If the midterm stays flat for either party, or one gets a little nudge or advantage, then that's going to tell a lot about what happens in 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're going to see a really, I think, spirited discussion about the future of the Democratic Party. And we'll see that first play out, as you note, in local and congressional races. So we'll have a nice test bed to see where the party is and how it's developed in the next couple of years.
As well as who steps forward, which that's always the interesting case, too, because I've said this for quite some time. Both parties need to turn the page as far as the generations are concerned. Are the Democrats going to move forward even more so than they have already, or are they going to let the Republicans catch up with new blood?
No, absolutely right. I mean, I always tell people, ten years before Barack Obama was president, he was largely unknown in the party and was not the direction the party was going. But events have a way of shaping parties, and a good party will respond to what people on the ground feel. So I'm very excited to see what we get. I think we're going to build a great bench, and it's going to be a much younger bench than we've ever had.
Yeah, that's the key right there. If you want to find out more about the work of Third Degree Strategies, the services and the expertise, the insight that they offer in a variety of ways, their website, thirddegreestrategies.com. He is their founder and chief strategist. Max Burns. Max, thanks for giving us a better understanding of the hows and the whys of what we've been seeing on Election Day in the aftermath and what's to come. And thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much. Anytime.